The Joe Mason Show is on, in 5, 4, 4, 3, 3, 2, 2, 1, 1.
Welcome to the Phil Mason Show. I'm happy to have you here. We're here for the full hour today, and we will be talking NBA basketball. Coming up later, Amar and I will continue our discussions on the NCAA draft prospects and their fantasy value. Tom Lewis will be here to talk about the big, big win today over the Oklahoma City Thunder. And joining me now, from MemphisFlyer.com, please welcome new daddy and their chief reporter, Kevin Leip, is in the house. Kevin, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Oh, I am good, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You're staying up all night like me now, eh?
Something like that, yeah. Oh, I'm going to be podcasting at 3:30 in the morning now.
Yeah, that's a little bizarre. But soon that will be rectified as well. But the Memphis Grizzlies, I got to tell you, I'm really happy because I have internet in my house finally for the first time in 12 years. And I was able to just lay back, relax, and watch that excellent basketball game with Miami. That is who the Memphis Grizzlies are, or I should say, what I thought they would be at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. That was really kind of a vintage performance. You never want to see... it's never a good idea to back yourself into a must-win game against the two-time defending world champion NBA team. But that's what the Grizzlies did, and then they came out and they made good on it. They won. I think that was some of the best performance we've seen out of Mark Gasol all year, for sure. Just the passing and the attack out of him, the aggressiveness. Randolph was just unconscious, going 8 of 8 in the first... 8 of 8 in the first quarter, but one of those was a three-pointer, which I don't know when the last time that happened was. You know, it was just all around a really good show by the Grizzlies in a game that they couldn't afford to lose.
You got that right. And, you know, every time I watch Miami, and I'm not a big fan of the Heat at all, but I get more and more respect for LeBron James because he did everything and then some, and it just wasn't enough because, like you said, my goodness. When their backs are to the wall, the real Grizzlies stepped up. And this is why I still have them favored as highly as I do, because of situations like that. And they didn't let me down. And it got a little hairy there at the end.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, that was, you talk about LeBron, that was definitely playoff LeBron making an appearance in the Memphis game because they were trying to clinch from the Pacers. That was just really... LeBron took it to a whole nother level in that game. He usually isn't playing that hard in a regular season game in Memphis. And so to see him kind of pull out all the stops and really try to will the Heat to a win and still not be able to do it, just really, really encouraging.
It was. And I really enjoyed watching the play of the big guys. They really got down and took care of business. And that's why I love the Grizzlies. And that's why I enjoy this, because the way they tried to play was the way they would play in the playoffs. And if they can continue that at that level, because like you said, LeBron James wasn't given any quarter whatsoever. He was fighting. And that's what I really like to watch. When that kid is on and he's fighting, it just brings everybody's level up. Either you rise or you fall, because that kid's not going to fall too often.
Yeah, and you know, the rest of the Heat really didn't do him any favors. It was just the Grizzlies basically did what they could with LeBron and then shut everybody else down. You could tell that was their plan going into it, and that's what they did going out of it. That was pretty much that's how you beat the Heat. And it's certainly not stop LeBron, because there's not a good way to do that.
There's really no way to do that, I don't think. I honestly don't believe that there is, but they did what you're supposed to do. Let the guy get his points and shut everyone else down. And that's exactly what they did. Could the Grizzlies do that 4 times out of 7? I'm not so sure. But they didn't have to. And they kept hope alive, because especially after that I thought, disappointing loss to San Antonio last Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, Manu Ginobili was a great player. I guess he still is. But in all fairness, I mean, he shouldn't score 26 points. But then again, you're missing Tayshaun, right? And that's right. When you can see the difference, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Okay, you're not a fan of Tayshaun this year, really. I know, but...
Yeah. I mean, I think he's a good defensive presence, but I also just don't think he would have done much better, honestly. I think that, I don't know. I am so far off the Tayshaun bandwagon now. I'm not, I don't think they're going to miss him before he comes back, honestly.
Now, when is he coming back? Do you know?
I don't know. We saw kind of right after the injury, Beno Udra actually tweeted that he was going to be out 2 weeks, which puts him out into the first round. I don't know if that was accurate, if that's what the trainers told Tayshaun, and then Tayshaun told Beno that. I'm sure he got in trouble for tweeting that. If that's accurate, then he's not going to play again in the regular season.
Well, they're 3-1 without him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that helps you stay off his bandwagon. But I kind of see the difference, because he does play good defense. He really tries hard. You know, we don't crack. And folks out there, we're not really cracking on Tayshaun, because Kevin and I both think the world of the guy. Yeah. He's probably one of the nicest human beings on the planet, too. But he's a veteran. He's played, what, 10, 12 seasons? He's been there, done that. And when you start to get these injuries, these leg injuries and these nagging things that never seem to heal... It just doesn't bode well for him. But yeah, honestly,
he's really on the downhill slide of his career now. I mean, I think when he first got here, kind of the end of last year, there was still some fight in him and some ability. He got hurt in the playoffs in the Oklahoma City series, and then was kind of a non-factor after that. And then he's just been really hampered this year by illness at first, and then that messed up his conditioning, and then he was getting injured because his conditioning wasn't right. And I think next year, if he comes in without having some sort of devastating illness in the preseason where he actually has his conditioning base coming into the year, he may have a better year.
That's well said, and that was very kind, because I know you haven't been on his bandwagon too much.
No, I haven't.
But that's okay, too. I mean, but the other thing that I was kind of pleasantly surprised by is the rotations David Yeager used on Wednesday night against Miami. He coached a playoff basketball game, and he succeeded, didn't he?
Yeah. I like starting James Johnson at the small forward spot against the Heat because of the athleticism, the matchup with LeBron. I think he's enough of an athlete to at least give him problems. Where you miss Tayshaun in a game like that is Tayshaun doesn't make too many dumb plays. So Tayshaun's probably not going to, not going to let LeBron get as many easy looks as he got, even doing what he does. But I think Johnson was the right call. And with Johnson and with the starters, that lets you don't have to split minutes between Johnson and Tony Allen. You're able to kind of play both of them 25 minutes, and that's what he did. I like the Tony Allen, Mike Miller, Calathes, Kufus, and Ed Davis bench. I think that's your... If you're going to do a 10-man rotation on this Grizzlies team, I think that's what you do. You do James Johnson with the starters or Tony Allen with the starters, and then those are the other five are your bench.
Yeah, I agree. And he went, Tony Allen played 24 minutes off the bench. Miller had 9 minutes off the bench, and everyone else played 8 or less. And I think that's about right for a playoff-level game. And Zach Randolph played 42 minutes.
Yeah.
Gasol played 45.
Randolph played 42 minutes. He played 42 minutes because he was shooting 80% from the floor.
He was on fire. He hit the first 8 shots in the first quarter. Then he made the 9th one to begin the second quarter. And I had to look twice, man. I thought the stream was goofy because I said, that's not Zach Randolph.
I know.
But
especially the three. The three-pointer just killed me.
Oh, I'll tell you, man. That was a great game to watch, though. It was a lot of fun. The Philly game was what it is. We're doing this before the Los Angeles game. I don't think there's going to be too much of a problem against Los Angeles. But Monday night, tonight's game, Kevin, against Phoenix, that's for all the marbles. That's where either they win or they go or they're out, right?
I don't think they have to win. I think if they don't win, then Phoenix has to lose out. I think that's how that works. Because Phoenix is actually one back in the loss column now.
Okay, that makes sense now. So let's see who Phoenix has coming up. Because this is important. I honestly speaking, you don't even want to leave it in their hands. You want to take care of your own business. And they have Sacramento on Wednesday. Yeah. And the Grizz, they have Dallas on Wednesday.
If the Grizz
win this on Monday.
Yeah, you got to win this one. And if the Grizzlies win out, I believe the 7 seed is still in play. Dallas has clinched a playoff berth, so Dallas can't do any worse than 8th. But I believe that if Memphis wins the LA game, wins the Phoenix game, wins the Dallas game, they'll be the 7th seed.
And that's much better because you play Oklahoma City. Now, preference-wise, Oklahoma City or San Antonio?
I think this is going to sound a little crazy. I think the path to an NBA championship is going to run through San Antonio. Whether you're the 7 seed or the 8 seed, you're going to have to play San Antonio at some point because I don't think anybody else is going to beat him. So you might as well just play him first and get it over with. Because then if you beat them, you get to play the winner of the Houston-Portland series, which is obviously a favorable matchup to, you know, Clippers-Golden State. I really think that the Spurs are better than the Grizzlies this year. They're at the very least, they're more consistent. And so I think that that's probably their toughest playoff matchup. And if you get it out of the way first, then it's out of the way. But you know, I don't see that much of a difference, honestly, between playing Oklahoma City and playing San Antonio. I think they're both really good teams. I think they're both kind of pretty close to locked in. You know, obviously Oklahoma City has been a little bit easier of a matchup for the Grizzlies in the past. But, you know, I think the path to the title runs through San Antonio, and you got to get it out of the way first or last. So you might as well do it first.
I've been saying this for a while now, Kevin, that if San Antonio is going to lose it all in the playoffs, it's going to be the first round. It'll be a shocker. It'll be an upset. They'll just get gangbustered. And if there's one basketball team out there that's going to do that, it's going to be the Memphis Grizzlies. Because when you slow that pace down to like 90 or less, like they're going to do, and the big boys start banging away, it could be interesting. I don't think that Tiago Splitter is going to be able to stop Marc Gasol. Now, I think obviously Duncan and Randolph will be back and forth, or probably Duncan will get the advantage there. But this is where Marc Gasol and his ability to come outside of the paint and do his thing is going to cause them some problems.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't think it's impossible for the Grizzlies to beat the Spurs. I think that it's going to take a lot of guys for the Grizzlies who haven't shown up in Spurs games to show up. You know, I think the last time they played, I guess, what was that, 10 days ago? I don't think the Grizzlies were interested in that game. I think they had that down as a schedule loss and just kind of got over it. But I think that we've seen some other games this year. There was an overtime game in Memphis where they played really well. So, you know, I think that these are two teams that that love playing each other. I think the Spurs have had a huge advantage and still do. I think the Spurs, the way that they defend Zach Randolph, they do it so much better than anyone else, kind of bringing those doubles from the baseline and really forcing him out of his comfort zone. But I think that, I think it's anybody's game. I think it could go 6 or 7 games either way.
Well, I agree with you. My thing is, I'm not going to say that Memphis will win, but I think that they have a very good chance to win if everything goes the way it should or goes their way. I just have a good feeling about Memphis after watching the way they played against the Heat.
Yeah,
they start in the last few nights. Actually, they've kind of seemed to turn the corner, and I'm enjoying watching the Grizzlies again. Aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're playing kind of like you said. They're playing the way that we thought they were supposed to be playing all year long. This has been such an up and down season, so inconsistent, so, you know, just mind-bogglingly all over the place, that when they really lock it in and play like that, it's a reminder of, oh yeah, this is what we thought they were going to be all along.
Absolutely. Great stuff today, Kevin. Thanks so much.
Yeah, man. Anytime.
All right. That was Kevin Leip. You can find him at memphisflyer.com/beyondthearc. Coming up next, Amara and I will take a look at the NBA prospects heading into the draft, and we'll talk about their fantasy value. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
The Phil Nason Show will return.
And it's the reason Al Gore invented the internet.
After these brief messages.
Riveting talk radio. Everybody
get up. People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Talk radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
Say, kids, what time is it?
Abscape Radio is your choice for music.
All right, let's do this.
From house, trance, pop, and rock, your online community and EDM-based radio.
Do you know your fantasy sports? Would you like to make money at it? DraftStreet.com and The Phil Nason Show would like to help you get started making money playing fantasy sports today. And we'll even give you the chance to get started making money today for free. On me. That's right. All you have to do is head on over to philnasons.com or visit the show notes for this show. Click the Draft Street image at the top of the page and start making money playing fantasy sports at draftstreet.com today.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
Read what happens when an Orange County housewife decides she likes another man more than her husband. Join Brooklyn through her struggles in this coming-of-age saga filled with full-blown drama and real-life secrets that are no longer kept. Two great novels, one great author. You can find Brooklyn and Bo Chronicles at BrendaPerlin.com. That's www.BrendaPerlin.com. Great books and interviews with the authors that write them are featured on the Writer Showcase podcast. I invite you to check it out at thewritershow.wordpress.com. Fantasy Baseball Weekly is a weekly baseball podcast with a fantasy owner in mind. We give you tips, tricks, tools, and everything else we can think of to help you win your league. You can catch us at fantasybaseballweekly.wordpress.com or on philnasons.com. Come check us out.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now,
here are some words of wisdom from Mr. Know-It-All.
Back to the Phil Nason Show.
What a dope. What a maroon.
Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. The NBA draft is happening, well, way down the road, but we started talking about it last week, and we had so much fun with it and giving fantasy values to these guys, we thought we'd continue. And joining me to do just that from slcdunk.com, their managing editor is in the house. His name is Amar. Welcome to the show, Amar. How you doing, dude?
Doing great. Yeah, like I had so much fun last week. This has to be a fixture every week now.
I think it should, and I think it will be, because this was a lot of fun. And the draft isn't until what, July or June? So
The end of June.
Yeah, we got lots of time to talk about these young fellas. And the one I wanted to talk about today, we'll start with, is Jabari Parker. Now, I've told you privately, said this publicly, that I don't believe, even though this is a very loaded draft, I don't believe there's an instant franchise changer in this draft. Now, Jabari Parker has come out now, and he says he needs to have a discussion with Coach K to see if he should go pro or not. What do you think about Jabari Parker? Because you have some thoughts, too, on him. I know you do.
Yeah, it's hard to say what he's going to do, because like when you were 18, how decisive were you as a kid? You know, I was pretty indecisive myself. So I can understand his decision that he needs to talk to other people. He needs to hear from other people to tell him what to do or at least give him good advice. He rattled some feathers because he apparently signed up for student housing for next year already. And people are jumping the gun on saying, oh, well, you know, that means that he's absolutely coming back to Duke for a second year. And he said that he has some unfinished business. I don't know if he actually does. Like, his real business is going to be a basketball player professionally. And, you know, he's been stirring up a lot of controversy as well, because if he's saying on one hand, I need to talk to Coach K, but on the other hand, he's going on the radio or whatever saying it would be a blessing to play for the Lakers. You know, he's giving mixed messages. And, you know, that's exactly what an 18-year-old who doesn't know what he's going to do does.
Sounds a lot like Dwight Howard when he was 25.
Yeah, well, he's still mentally a teenager. So.
Yeah, that's right, he is. But you know what? What's Coach K going to say? He's going to pull the old Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs. Oh, won't you stay?
Oh, my.
Just another year for me. That's what he's going to do. I would tell him that. And look, I don't know if Jabari Parker has anything to prove any longer at Duke. But here's the thing, though, Amar. If he waits another year and barring injury, he's going to be the number one pick in the next year's draft, maybe.
Right. And he's likely going to be top three in this year's draft. So there isn't that much room to get better. And if you're looking at the CBA and what the rookie scale is, he's only going to be making about, I believe, 0.75 million more if he's number one. Financially, there is really no purpose. It's just going to end up being, what does he think about fit? Because I think Coach K, he's going to do the opposite. He's going to say, no, we're going to be fine without you. Don't think about us. Do what's good for you. And he's going to tell him to go to the NBA draft. Because Coach K knows, you know, he's a master of this type of manipulation. And if he wants Jabari to come back, he's not going to do it by telling him to come back. He's going to do it by telling Jabari to go. So, like, it's that some of that reverse psychology. You know, Duke is a pretty good school, but I'm not so certain that their 18-year-olds are that smart.
Now, that's fair enough. Now, fantasy-wise, if he comes out, I give him about an 8 out of 10, 1 being the best, 10 being the worst. I think he's going to fit in there around 8, 7. I don't see him being instantaneously successful on a fantasy level, but I see him fitting in. I would really like to see him playing for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, that's a very loaded question. But to answer the first part, where would I rank him? I think that he's pretty much a 7 right now, especially when we factor in recency bias of how he performed in the tournament, which may not mean anything to the rest of his career. But a lot of people are saying, okay, well, if he's going to be like Melo, wouldn't you take him no matter where he lands? Like, wouldn't you just try and get him because that's a sure thing? Carmelo, love him or hate him, he averaged 21 points per game as a rookie. He averaged 6 rebounds a game as a rookie, 3 assists per game as a rookie, more than 1 steal a game. Are these the numbers that Jabari is going to bring as a rookie? Is he going to do 21 and 6? I don't think he's that good right now. So, and that was after Carmelo only went to one season with Syracuse. So I don't know if he's that sure of a thing right now. If he's the most sure thing that there isn't this draft, and this draft has been overhyped, would I want him on the Jazz? Yeah, of course, because Utah doesn't have a legitimate go-to scorer. And that seems to be Jabari's greatest strength right now. Is he the guy that I would take if Utah gets number one? Probably not. But I'm not going to say no to Jabari. You know, there's a lot of people who just can't wait to love him in Utah, and they would show up to all the home games. So that would be a win-win if we get him.
Makes sense to me. Absolutely makes sense to me. You know who I like, though, is Julius Randle. I think he can come in and be a five on a fantasy team. He's going to bust out of Kentucky, I'm sure. What do you think about Julius Randle?
I like him. I like the fact that he is going to come into this league with a chip on his shoulder, no matter where he lands, because he knows that he's looking at the top five, but may not actually be a top five pick. You never know when people are picking Anthony Bennett's number one. So he probably has a higher opinion of himself than some of these general managers. So he's going to want to work. The other thing about Randle is that besides being a guy who is not as highly regarded as these top players, he's a guy who actually has game and he knows what he's good at, and he's going to continue doing what he's good at. Whereas some of these other players who may have more potential, they're still trying to figure out where their strengths actually are. Randle's got that figured out. And if you go into the NBA with a defined skill set, that's going to be an advantage to you.
Yep, I think you're right. And a power forward, generally, and this is a pretty big kid. He's not like Reed thin like Anthony Davis.
Yeah, he's 250 and he's 19 years old.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, well, with the obesity epidemic in America, we could make another joke about that, but we won't. You know,
no, we won't go there tonight with that. but I like Randle a lot. I think he's going to fit in with somebody. I'm trying to think of where he would make the best fit. He's going to go in the top five, probably. But like you said, when you have a kid like Bennett going number one last year, you never really know. But where do you like Randle at? I think Randle would probably fit in, maybe. He would probably be the better fit in Los Angeles than Jabari Parker.
Yeah, probably. As long as Kobe is going to be there and supposedly healthy, it's not going to be that beneficial to Parker to be on that same team. Randle would definitely help out in LA, especially if they decide that they don't want to have Pau Gasol come back. I'm actually thinking that with his skill set, he would be a really good fit with Victor Oladipo in Orlando. Now, I know Orlando is probably picking out of Randle's range, but if they happen to make it work together, I think that would be a very successful marriage.
I like that Orlando idea, too. That would be really good. Because, you know, Big Baby, he kind of flourished down there when he was there for a while.
And I think this big step. He's not as serious as Randle is.
Not at all. I like Randle's intensity, though. He's someone I definitely enjoy watching. Another one, another power forward. I'm going to give him a 6, maybe a 7 on the fantasy-wise impact scale. From Indiana, Noah Vonleh. You like Noah? Did I even say his name right?
Dude, I don't know. Oh, here we go with the dude again. So this is the drinking game for the listeners of the show. But yeah, Noah, I don't know what to expect from him, because I'm waiting to get, let's be honest, I'm waiting to see him at the combine, because then he's going to be competing against other first rounders and other second rounders in close quarters. And I'll be able to gauge how he is athletically against these other guys. His stats look great. His shooting is fine. And as you said, like, as a power forward, he's a guy who's able to get things done. Indiana didn't even make the tournament. So it's kind of like, well, he's out of sight, out of mind. And as a result, I don't know enough about him at this stage, but from what I've read from other people's scouting reports, he's like a 6. He's like a really good 6, but he could easily be a 4 for me if his athletic skills, or if his, you know, I'm worried about his arm length the most. And, you know, maybe that's just me being crazy, but I don't think that he's got the wingspan needed.
That's possible. You know what? That's possible. We'll have to wait and see on old Noah. By the way, did you see the movie Noah yet?
I'm afraid that I missed it. I've been a little bit busy trying to bone up on all of my NCAA stuff because I know you're going to grill me every week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Because they sent me one of those advanced copies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Nice. And it's the show. We get a lot of these kind of things here. It's not worth your time or your money, folks.
There, it looked interesting. Like I love the story in the Bible, so I was.
Well, if you look, I'll tell you what, the book is much better than the movie.
Amen.
But Emma Watson is in there. She's all right. At least you have something to look at. But anyway, back to that.
People who love the story and people who hate the Bible, they were both angry at Noah, the movie. So that's kind of special.
When you piss off both sides of that argument. You've done something very special.
Exactly, yeah.
Aaron Gordon, he's special from Arizona. 6'9", 225, power forward. More like an Anthony Davis. I give him a 9.
I'm saying 8 at this stage, mainly because... Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to look at my expectations here. I don't know what's going to happen with Gordon. I think with a guy like this... He's not like a – okay, this is going to sound wrong. I don't think he's exactly a take-charge type of guy right now. And as a result, as a rookie, especially in the NBA, how he performs in his rookie season and his second season, a big part of that is going to be his fit with the team and how effective the guards around him are going to help him get better. Because you could be a great big man, but if you're never seeing the rock or if you're not getting the ball in a position to score – then that's automatically going to make you look worse than you actually are. And that's what I worry. It's the same worry I have with Noah as well, that like, if they're on a team that doesn't suit their talents, it's going to be very hard for them to look as good as some of these other guys who are going to be going to teams that are absolutely dedicated to setting them up.
That's a very good point too. Where does a Gordon fit in? Detroit?
I don't really think Detroit. So. You know, they have enough trouble right now with they have to figure out what's going to happen with Smith, that nutcase, and they got Drummond, who is just a beast and probably doesn't need any more competition in the paint, and they got the Moose to worry about as well. I actually think that this is off topic, but Greg Monroe is probably going to get paid this year, and he's probably not going to be getting paid by Detroit.
More than likely they'll have a spot for him, but maybe Aaron Gordon goes to Boston.
Yeah, I think that he would be a good complement to what they have with Kelly Olynyk. Olynyk, he had a really great game in his last game in Boston. They're actually tearing it up right now at the end of the season. But they're not quite there yet as a full, complete roster. And they need a guy with Gordon's talents. And if you look at Arizona, you know, they went to the Elite Eight. And that was basically Gordon doing it. So it's it was a good fit for him. I think playing with a guy like Rondo would really make his life easy.
I think so, too, if Rondo actually is with Boston next year, because you never know with Trader Danny Ainge. But Gordon, I don't see him playing power forward. I see him as a maybe in a small lineup, because he's awful thin, man. He's only, what, 220 pounds, something like that? Sheesh.
Yeah, exactly. I have him listed even less, but that's probably because this was taken. Like, the measurement that I have is pretty early. From his high school, I guess. But, yeah, in the right system, like can Brad Stevens play that Jeff Hornacek small ball? You know, that's the question, I guess. If he can, then maybe you'd see him at power forward. But in the East, they play a little bit more traditional. It's a little bit slower. You know, as long as you forget the fact that you have a guy like Carmelo playing four. But you wouldn't want to see Aaron Gordon, you know, bang against a guy like Amir Johnson or Paul Millsap or somebody like that. Those guys are just too strong for him.
No, that would be ugly. Unless, of course, you know, my team was playing against him, then I wouldn't mind seeing him at all. Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what, great stuff, man. We're going to have a lot of fun with this, I promise. That was Amar. You can find him over at slcdunk.com. Coming up next, Tom Lewis and I will talk about the Indiana Pacers. One win away from the number one seed and home court advantage in the Eastern Conference. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
Phil Nason Show will return.
You are a meathead, dead from the neck up.
After these brief messages.
Central Portugal's only English-speaking information station, this is Epics Radio. Listen online, www.epicsradio.com.
Brewtown Sports is your source for Brewers news and notes. Join Mr. Brewtown as he keeps you up to date on all the happenings of your Milwaukee Brewers and Major League Baseball. Follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, Brewtown Sports. Listen 24/7 at brewtownsports.podomatic.com.
Are you a fan of historical fiction? If you are, then why not try author Mary Ann Bernal's The Briton and the Dane series of historical fiction novels. You can purchase these novels from her website at www.maryannbernal.com. That's www.maryannbernal.com. Are you looking to escape into lands full of fantasy, drama, and adventure? If you are, why not try author Kay Metter's books? Their Journey Begins, Journey to Freedom, The Night of the Dixie Wilds, On Top of the Rainbow, and Transcendence will get you there. Kay Metter's books are available as an ebook or in paperback, and you can find her at authorkmetter.com. That's authorkmeador.com.
Check this out.
Say, kids, what time is it?
Abscape Radio is your choice for music.
All right, let's do this.
From house, trance, pop, and rock, your online community and EDM-based radio.
If you like baseball, you should be checking out baseballpodcasts.net. It's one of the best places you can go on the internet to listen to independent baseball talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our radio player that can be heard around the world. So won't you tune in and give us a listen at baseballpodcast.net. You can also listen to the great Phil Nason show here. See you there at baseballpodcast.net.
Riveting talk radio.
Everybody get up.
People cannot get away from the internet.
Well,
now.
I think, and it probably comes from porn as well. You know what I mean? That's got to be a big, strong thing.
Oh, that's gross. That's disgusting.
And it freaks me out.
My cheeks are sealed.
We love talk radio.
Bend over, baby.
Do you see what I'm saying?
WeirdTalkSuperstation.com.
Better than sex.
I don't know how good sex is.
We're going to do a lot of drinking.
Dog radio. Bend over, baby.
That was great.
Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nasons Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination.
You're listening to AFR, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And now.
And it's the reason Al Gore invented the internet.
Back to the Phil Nason Show.
Shut up! Shut up!
Yes! Shut up!
Shut up! You're telling me to shut up?
Please, just shut up. I am so sick of hearing you talking all the time. Don't you ever just shut up?
Hey everyone, Tom Lewis was unavailable this evening, and we recorded this for a segment that we were going to air on Thursday, but I thought I'd run it today. Joe Mullinax and I will look at defensive backs in the NFL draft. Enjoy the rest of the show, and we'll see you tomorrow. Welcome back to the Phil Nason Show. The NFL draft is occurring, well, it's right around the corner. And to continue our discussion on draft prospects, tonight we'll take a look at the corners Please welcome from GrizzlyBearBlues.com, their football coach and basketball writer, Joe Mullinax is in the house. Joe, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great, Phil. Happy to be here as always. And the defensive backs, the secondary, are a pretty key part of any good defense, making sure that you're not getting beat deep by, especially in the NFL, the aired out offenses, the quarterback being so important. If you're going to have a good defense, you really need to have some pretty good corners. So this is going to be an interesting place for some teams to try to get better in the draft.
Yeah, but when I look at this list, I'm thinking there's only a couple of guys who actually can make that happen. I think one of them is Justin Gilbert, right?
I think Justin Gilbert is one of them. I think that he has the skill set where he can be an explosive addition to any team. Right now, Todd McShay's latest mock draft that came out a few days ago for ESPN.com, they have Gilbert going to the San Diego Chargers at number 25 overall. He says in his evaluation that he's not as high on Gilbert. A lot of people are pretty high on him. They like his skill set. They think that he's a tremendous pro prospect at that corner spot. And one of the things that people really like about Gilbert is how much of a freakish athlete he is. He'll be able to run with anybody. He has great size for the corner position at 6 foot and 202 pounds. He's strong. He can handle bigger receivers. He also has great hands. He had 7 interceptions in 2013 with 2 touchdowns. So he has a great skill set when it comes to being a ball making or a ball hawking corner at the National Football League level. He's also pretty quick. They think that he might be a decent special teams return man. He returned 6 kickoffs for touchdowns on special teams in his career at Oklahoma State. So this is a guy who can help you across multiple platforms. He'll probably be gone in the first 20 to 25 picks.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's one of those kids that's a game changer because, honestly speaking, I don't see too many of them in this class. But Darquise Dennard from Michigan State, maybe another one. I think he's on a little on the short side maybe, but what do you like about Mr. Dennard?
Yeah, he's about 5'10", 5'11", so he is a little bit shorter. And when you have a corner, and especially in the NFL, you know, nowadays it's kind of the era of the bigger receiver, whether it be a Calvin Johnson or an A.J. Green. You know, many of the Pro Bowl receivers this past year were bigger receivers who still had that great speed. So you need guys that are going to be able to handle that size and strength out on the edge. Dennard is a good example of that. He's physical. He might be smaller, but he's going to be physical. He's going to be able to be strong enough and go up against those bigger receivers. He is actually great in press coverage. And what press coverage is, for your listeners, is when you are right up on the line of scrimmage and your job is to get hands on a receiver and not allow them to get a clean release off the line of scrimmage. Lots of teams are trying to do this a little bit more within that 5-yard limit at the first 5 yards from the line of scrimmage to try to throw off timing with quarterbacks, making sure that the offenses don't have the right timing in their scheme. And he does a great job with this. His speed, it's not elite. He has speed, and his technique is really what helps him even more so than athleticism when it comes to playing the corner position. And he also plays the run pretty well. He's a strong guy. If you're strong in press coverage, that usually means you're physical and aggressive enough to come up and be that secondary force player out on the edge to help out your linebackers and D-line inside. So Dennard, he might be a better NFL-ready player. The higher ceiling might go to a kid like Gilbert, but Dennard might be the guy who could come in and be most productive at that spot from day one.
Now, do you think he'll get taken before Gilbert? Because I think he might.
I think that there's a potential for him to go early. Looking at Todd McShay's mock draft again, he has him currently going to the Pittsburgh Steelers at pick number 15. He's not as fast as Gilbert, like we talked about. He doesn't have Gilbert's ball skills. But when it comes to man-to-man defense, there's nobody better than Dennard in this draft. Much more physical. And when you think Pittsburgh football, you think physicality. So he's going to fit that scheme pretty well. And I actually think that's a great great pick by McShay there. I could see him going 15 to the Steelers as well.
You know what? That makes sense. Now, another guy they're talking about quite a bit is Kyle Fuller from Virginia Tech, but I don't know what the fuss is all about. What's the fuss all about with Kyle Fuller?
Well, Kyle Fuller is one of those guys who has a lot of natural skill. He did a pretty good job at Virginia Tech in the ACC, and he has a lot of the things that come along with needing to be a very good NFL corner, whether it be speed, whether it be his size, whether it's athleticism. He also is very fluid out at that position, and that is one of the things. Hip fluidity is important. You need to be able to break on the ball, break and react quick, and flip those hips quickly. He has that ability, and that's something that you can't necessarily teach all the time. Fuller is a project to an extent. He's had some injury problems in the past, and that might be one of the reasons why maybe you're so iffy on him. And that's a fair concern and probably why he'll drop a little bit on draft boards. But when it comes to him, when he is healthy, he has great, great, great skills for the corner position in the NFL. I'm an ACC football fan, so I've had an opportunity to watch Fuller play and develop and in his career at Tech. And his game tape is pretty darn impressive. He pretty much shut down Amari Cooper of Alabama when they played. And he started 41 games on one of the better defenses in the in college football at Virginia Tech. So he's got skills. The corners at Virginia Tech need to be talented. There's definitely a bloodline of that when it comes to guys like D'Angelo Hall and other corners who have come out of Tech and had good careers. So I think that he's a guy that you snatch him up, you know, late first round. McShay has him going 27 to the New Orleans Saints right now. And that would be an awesome place for him to land. They just signed Champ Bailey, and I don't think of anybody that you could possibly learn from who would be better at that spot than Champ Bailey. So give Fuller a year or two to maybe be a dime or a nickel corner for you, and then let him step up in a couple of years once he proves that he can stay healthy.
Sold. Because I thought about the injuries, and I can't remember who I watched him play against, but he didn't have one of his better games. But I didn't see – that's only a small sample size. Jason Verrett's another one, though, who may end up first round, who may end up stepping in and immediately helping somebody, though, right?
For sure. And you talk about size. This guy doesn't necessarily have that at all. You know, he's 5'10", 175. You're not looking for that to go up against Megatron. You know, I mean, that's going to be a bit of a struggle for Verrett. And a big transition going from – the offenses that he saw in the Big 12 with TCU going into the NFL. But going along with the philosophy of being a ball hawk, this guy is a ball hawk. You don't necessarily need to be a massive, massive player when you just have an ability to find the football and react to it. He had 9 interceptions in 3 seasons at TCU. We're going back to the talk of fluid hips. This guy has some of the best hips in the draft at the defensive back position in terms of ability to move. And he's aggressive, which you need, especially if you're a smaller guy. And another good example, like Denard, of a player who's physical and run support. He's going to be able to come up and help out on the run. And that is valuable out at that spot, because sometimes you have guys that are just purely coverage guys and they don't help enough in run support. And that really puts your front seven or front eight, front six, whatever defense you run, it hurts them in that way. But if you, especially at the later end of the first round, he definitely gives you a lot of good value. Aggressive in that run support, like I said, he could play well in man-to-man coverage. Great speed, great hands. McShay in his mock draft has him going 30th overall to the San Francisco 49ers. And again, I mean, when you think defense in the NFL right now, you think San Francisco 49ers, and that's a guy who could go out there, play in their system, and really get some good experience.
I think you're right. He might even start one day there. Who knows? But that's enough of the corners. We have some others to get through. Free safety.
Sure.
There's only a couple, Joe, that I want to talk about tonight is Hashan Clinton-Dix from Alabama. Now, that kid can get down and crack.
Extremely talented. And when it comes to, and we've talked about in our series leading up to the draft before, you know, defenses that you know are going to produce NFL caliber players. Florida State is one of them. Alabama with Nick Saban is certainly one of them. And Clinton-Dix is extremely talented. He's extremely balanced. And he's a case of a guy who some folks are higher on than others. Todd McShay of ESPN, he's extremely high on Clinton Dix. He has him going 10th overall to the Detroit Lions. And he says that while this may seem early to take a safety, he thinks that Clinton Dix is a premier young talent at the free safety position. And I tend to agree. When you're talking about safety, something that is different from corner is the ability to dissect offenses, to understand pass route combinations, and making sure that you're able to cover a wide portion of the field. And a lot of times the best way to do that is through understanding what's coming at you before the snap even happens. And he's excellent at that. He's extremely intelligent. He can diagnose offenses. And the fact is that he is a every down player. You wouldn't say that he's just a pass coverage guy. He can help and run support. He can move very fluidly, instinctive on the run stop. He can play at the line of scrimmage. He is going to be a guy that can run the alley for you and really come up and, like you said, knock some heads. He's a physical kid. Obviously, he has kind of that tainted name to an extent. He was suspended 2 games for reportedly taking a loan of less than $500 from an Alabama coach. That's not, you know, I hate to say it, but you hear stories about that everywhere in Division I football, especially, and that they just got caught. And when it comes to Clinton Dix, that's not going to slow anybody down from picking him up. He's a top 20 overall talent. I could see him going to the Lions, but I think it'll be a little bit later than that for him. 10 overall is a little bit early for a free safety, unless you think he's a game-changing talent. I'm not sure he's that. I think he could be a solid starter in the league.
Yeah, that was funny, man. Suspended for, 2 games? Taking $500. You know, the NCAA needs to do something about this, Joe, because these kids are poor, man. What happens if somebody dies in their family? What do they do? If you're a coach, I'm a coach. I'll tell you this. If some kid lost his family or someone in his family and he had to go home and he couldn't afford to get there, I'd make sure he got there. And I know you would too, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and it's a fine line to walk. And as you said, being a coach, you see stuff every day and you learn about these kids' home lives and their backgrounds. And it's really hard to really draw a line of what's, you know, appropriate to help, whether it's a car ride home or whether it's a couple of bucks for something to eat. You know, technically all of that stuff you're not supposed to do. But at the same time, you like I said, you get to know these kids and know their stories. And I'm not sure the exact issues that happened in that situation, but whenever it comes down to trying to help a kid, you're going to help the kid. And you're right, the scholarship covers a lot of stuff, but there's some things that it just doesn't cover. And some of the backgrounds that these kids are coming from, I know Shabazz Napier of UConn, who just won the national championship, he was famously quoted recently saying that he goes to bed hungry at night. That might be a little bit strong. They have cafeterias and things like that on college campuses that he could have walked to. But there's some kids that really have some issues and don't have everything covered that they need to in terms of living off campus. And it's a tough situation, and the NCAA is going to have to take a look at it.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, that Napier kid, he's just talking crap. Because he can take his food at the cafeteria, like you said.
Right.
But he can take stuff home. Athletes do this all the time. I mean, athletes eat better than anyone else on campus, even the rich kids. I mean, you know this. Yeah. I know this.
They have nutritionists now in their workout facilities. And I said on Twitter when that article first came out, I refuse to believe that I, as a Division III football player, and it was at a private school, so it's a nice school, but I mean, I'm not, my family's not wealthy. So I refuse to believe that I ate better than a kid who goes to UConn is in the national championship game. I have a problem believing that.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, great stuff today, Joe. Thank you so much for being on the show with me.
Bill, thank you for having me as always, and I'm looking forward to the draft and seeing how in the next few weeks how it all kind of plays out and seeing if we are on the money with our thoughts or not.
Yeah, we still have wide receivers to go, and we still have a couple weeks. We'll get it all done. Joe, great stuff. You can find Joe over at grizzlybearblues.com. Coming up next, Alex Hall and I will talk Oakland A's baseball, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.